This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Later in the show, the story of two scientists who battled typhus and sabotaged the Nazis. First, Kentucky voters head to the polls next Tuesday to choose the Commonwealth's next governor, businessman and Republican Matt Bevin, or Democrat and current Kentucky Attorney General Jack Conway. Here for a look at the Kentucky governor's race are Lexington Herald leader, political writer, and Frankfort bureau chief Jack Brammer, reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer James Pilcher, and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jack, James, and Howard, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Jack, what's this final week been like for the two candidates? How much campaigning have they been out there doing?
Nonstop. It's been get-out-the-vote efforts. They still are running their TV ads, and we'll probably see them up till 6 p.m. Tuesday when the polls close. But the effort now is be sure they get their base support out to the polls, out to the polls on Tuesday, because the media polls have been showing that the race is tight. Conway has enjoyed like a 5-point lead in most of the polls that I have seen, but that's close within the margin of error. So the old phrase, voter turnout means everything, really applies to this election.
It's expected to be a lower turnout, too, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, the candidates really haven't fired themselves up, fired up the electorate. Bevin was just in Northern Kentucky just a week and a half or so ago, and he said he needed a 40% turnout in Northern Kentucky to win, given that it's a heavily Republican area and it will overcome Conway and the rest of the state, which actually I think is true. The problem is that Northern Kentucky has usually been about 12 or 14% right. turnout, even right. in presidential elections.
Jack, go ahead.
The Secretary of State said today that she's expecting a turnout of about 24-25%. So it looks like someplace between 25 and 30. Mr. Bevin, that'd be great if the turnout was 40%, but I don't think anybody's really expecting it to be that high.
No, but the governor's race,
especially
I'm surprised.
Not in Northern Kentucky.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Northern Kentucky, it's an embarrassment of riches for Republicans,
right.
but that also works against them because people figure, oh, incumbents are going to win, especially in legislative races, that they really don't turn out because a lot of them are – they run unopposed or they have token opposition. So people have gotten into the habit or non-habit of voting in Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky, I did this last fall as the primary was earlier this year when the primary was getting started, Northern Kentucky lags the statewide turnout by a good 5-6 percentage points.
Jack and James, maybe you can talk about this a little bit. One of the things I hear from some people is that there are a lot of Republicans in Kentucky and even and particularly in Northern Kentucky too, who are just not at all enthusiastic about it. Matt Bevin.
I can talk to Jack. Probably talk to statewide, but I certainly can talk to Northern Kentucky. I can tell you, I've had background conversations with high-ranking Republicans in Northern Kentucky, and for the first time in a while, Kenton County is in play, and you see it. Normally, the Democratic candidate, if they weren't really competitive up here, would not spend a lot of money up here because it is a more expensive market to advertise in. But their mailers, Conway's campaign has done a lot of direct mail. They've done direct TV. They've done TV ads, both his ads as well as the Democratic Party and the Democratic Governors Association have sunk money into Northern Kentucky. So I think they sense weakness up here. And that means bad news for Bevin because the only reason he even won the primary was because he did so well up here and overcame James Comer's strength in the western part of the state. So, Jack, I don't know. What are you hearing? And I have heard from more establishment. Bevin represents the more conservative Tea Party wing of the Republican Party. And that hasn't played well with and some of the things he said has not played well with the establishment Republicans up here. What are you hearing statewide?
Oh, I think you're right on that. And some Republicans, especially those who are loyal to U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, are still miffed at Bevin for his not climbing on his campaign last year, and really being for him and McConnell's defeat of Allison Lindegren Grimes last year, and that was they had a bitter primary, and that's where McConnell called Bevin a East Coast con man, a pathological liar, and now Jack Conway, in my view, is running a Mitch McConnell type of campaign that in which you define your opponent, define them negatively. And that's all you harp on.
He's using the same terms, bailout Bevin. Absolutely.
Exactly. But Bevin certainly hasn't helped himself in this campaign with some of that stuff. He's not been able to stop that rhetoric. He's played into it. Say what you will. But there's this ongoing theme of not being completely transparent, not releasing his tax returns like all the other candidates have. He thinks it's not a big deal. He thinks he shouldn't have to. In fairness, and I'm not saying one way or the other whether he should or shouldn't, but that certainly has been an issue in
but
the campaign.
He still has a legitimate shot of winning this. That's the amazing thing. You would think with those negatives, but I think it's just the unpopularity of the president, and when any Republican candidate, you're going to use the strategy of painting your opponent as an Obama liberal.
Especially.
Even if they don't even know who the president is. So I think that's why it's still so close.
Especially in Kentucky. You and I know, Jack, that a Democrat in Kentucky sometimes would be a Republican anywhere else.
Yep. Yeah.
But they still are able to get that blue liberal brush out and paint everybody with it.
Jack, is this being viewed as a bellwether for next year?
Well, next year, Obama still will be, president. I'm sure Republicans will still use that strategy. And I would guess if Hillary Clinton should win the presidential nomination, you'll be hearing Republicans painting Democrats as, Clinton liberals. So it's hard to say because next year the big race is going to be the U.S. Senate race with Rand Paul seeking re-election if he doesn't win the presidential nomination, and that doesn't look too optimistic right now for him. And so I think all these what's occurring now will play over into next year's races too.
Yeah, and Kentucky, when it comes to presidential races, I mean, this is a red state. Bill Clinton could win it. I'm not sure about Hillary Clinton, whether or not she could win Kentucky. It is a red state in terms of presidential and federal elections.
Although when Hillary ran against Obama, Hillary trounced Obama in Kentucky for the primary.
Yeah.
It does swing. But the thing is, there are still more registered Democrats in the state than there are Republicans.
Right.
So, I mean, it is kind of one of those weird states where a lot of different kind of politics are at play at any given time.
In the fourth congressional district, Northern Kentucky, now have more registered Republicans, I think 11 more.
Yes.
There are Democrats.
Yes, and actually
Bunning's family or something.
all three of our biggest counties are all now majority Republican, and that's all happened within the last 5 years.
Right.
Jack, what has the spending been like for this race?
I haven't seen the final figures, and you know what? We won't know those final figures till way after the election. But James, what about $6.5 million? I think.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I just got an email press statement today from the Republican Governors Association, and this has been an interesting side story too. They're going to sink another $1.5 million into the race and to bring their total up to nearly $3 million. But they had stopped. They had pulled out because Bevin wasn't putting his own money in, and Bevin had started trailing the polls, and they almost washed their hands of it. Bevin rallied a little bit, came up with some of its own cash, and then the Republican Governors Association jumped back in. And like you said earlier, Jack, the other thing that you were starting to see is much more activity on the campaign trail from Conway, who has been a bit of a lackluster candidate for the Democrats, but now he and his running mate are out there full time on this, I forget what they call it, Kentucky Information Freedom Tour or something like that.
Yeah, Move Forward.
Move Forward, that's it, yeah.
But another reason the RGA pumped money into it, not only just for the governor's race, they see some what we call the down ticket races,
yes,
some
absolutely.
Other state constitutional races winnable for Republicans. And they want Bevin, of course, to do as well as he can, but also not hurt some of these other down ticket races that Republicans might claim.
I've heard from some sources over in Kentucky that that's exactly what happened. Was Mitch McConnell basically went to the RGA and said, look, you got to put this money back into this race, or we're going to lose all the way up and down the ticket.
Yeah.
And we can't afford to do that.
Well, and but I think with that came a caveat and a warning or some kind of stern message to Bevin, you saying you got to step up your funding game
absolutely.
Too.
So right.
And Ben, Bevin is all but self-funding his own campaign.
Yeah.
He's not done a ton of fundraisers. He's been more active on the campaign trail, and he's got the money to burn. So
what is that down ticket? What are the down ticket races, James?
Well, I think to me the most certainly the nastiest and the most interesting one is for Attorney General. The Republican is the current Senate legal. Chairman of the legal committee, Whitney Westerfield, who is very much in with the McConnell camp per Howard's discussion. And then on the other side is Steve Beshear's son, Andy Beshear, who has no government experience, has worked in private practice in Louisville, and has jumped into the race and probably the second highest constitutional officer that we have in the state. So there's that one's turned into quite the nasty little race.
Yeah.
You know, Whitney Westerfield's record as a former assistant prosecutor in his home county has come into play. There's stuff about him taking manicures while he was, you know, working there, and bad performance reviews. But then, of course, they're painting Beshear as a liberal with no experience and just on his daddy's coattails. So it's been a pretty fun race to watch.
I haven't seen all the numbers, but the Bluegrass poll, it's a media poll with the Lexington Herald Leader, Courier Journal, and the Lexington and Louisville TV station. We'll have a poll coming out at 5 p.m. today on all those down ticket races.
The other one that's that I'm watching specifically is the race for agriculture commissioner, which actually involves two candidates from our area. Ryan Quarles is a Republican; he's a state rep. He's from Grant County, but he also has ties to Northern Kentucky. And then Leslie Spann,
Jean Marie
Lawson Spann. She's originally from the downstate, but she married a vice president at our local airport, and they live up here. So she lives up here in Erlanger. So that's whoever wins are going to have a local voice. And actually, the agriculture commissioner oversees the most employees of any of the constitutional officers. It's a huge department.
What the polls are showing in that race is that seems to be the most winnable for the Republican, Mr. Quarles, of all the races.
And we will continue our conversation about the Kentucky's governor's race and next week's election. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Joining us this afternoon for a look at the Kentucky governor's race are Lexington Herald Leader, political writer, and Frankfort Bureau Chief Jack Brammer, reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer James Pilcher, and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. James, what about the other down ticket races? Anything interesting going on with those?
Yeah, Secretary of State is interesting just from the fact that a former Erlanger local guy, Steve Nipper, Erlanger City Councilman, is the Republican candidate. But nobody gives him a lot of chance in this race. He hasn't raised a lot of money. He did do a lot of grassroots campaigning heading into it. He ran unopposed in the primary, but he's going up against this political machine behemoth and Allison Lundgren Grimes, who's obviously just biding her time to run for something else after she's finished with her Secretary of State term. She's even thinking about jumping in the race for Senate next year, which would make an interesting fight among the Democrats, because I know the current state auditor, Adam Edelin, is also eyeing that spot. And he was tapped by Rachel Maddow as the next Bill Clinton, as a great Southern statesman.
Yeah, that's right.
There's an unannounced race between Grimes and Eaglin, the two Democrats, to see which one will get the most votes on Election Day. Who will lead the Democratic ticket for vote getters? And I think they're trying to reach that goal.
I think Grimes has got a head start on that because Eaglin doesn't just have token opposition, unlike Grimes. Mm-hmm. So it could be interesting.
I would agree.
What do you guys think about just the fact that Bevin came out of a primary that he won by only 83 votes, with a totally divided Republican Party. How much does that hurt him in terms of bringing the base out?
Well, it was his responsibility to try to unite the party, bring right. it all together.
Sure.
And as you know, there are various factions in both parties, but in the Republican Party, you've got the midstream Republicans, the traditional Republicans, you've got the Libertarians, you've got mm-hmm. the Tea Party, and I think he probably would have needed another year to unite yeah. all those factions.
Especially given the circumstances of the campaign. He right. didn't join until January. He right. came in at the very last minute. He filed on like 20 minutes before the filing deadline or something like that.
Right.
And self-funded it and was basically handed this gift when all of these allegations came out against James Comer and a girlfriend in college and all those things. And that just completely tore the party apart because you had the Comer loyalists. You had Hal Heiner sitting there from Louisville, yeah. Who everybody kind of pointed the finger and said he was the one who kind of was the source of all these allegations. And then you got Bevin, who kind of snuck in under the wire because Comer just missed by 83 votes. And it was funny. I was sitting there on election night and watching all the returns come in because Bevin had built up this huge lead, and then Comer just kept chipping away as the late arriving precincts came in from the western part of the state. And at one point, Comer came in and he was in the lead, and then the last county came in and tipped the scales. So, you know, he had a hard, hard task to reunite the party. And given his past history with McConnell, who basically runs the politics and runs the party in the state, given his at times contentious nature, it was really difficult. And then when he started, he launched his campaign up here. The first thing out of his mouth is, I'm going to repeal the Medicaid expansion. And then he goes on later and denies that he ever said it. It just kind of set a lot of people off. And now he's got this huge contentious relationship with the press, as we saw last week. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Jack, what do you think? I mean, it just seems like he's his own guy. He's not going to worry about the rest of the party and what that does for him come Election Day. Who knows?
Yeah, I think you've described the situation, correctly, absolutely on that. I know some Republicans have told me they've reached out to him, but he is his own man. I remember that raised the question, a month or so ago, what kind of cabinet would he have under a Bevin administration? What kind of team and management? And that question was posed to him, and he said that, he's working and he would have qualified, there'd be people. I'm sure that if he should win on Tuesday, a lot of these Republicans who've been on the sidelines will rush and join in the fruits of victory with him and be definitely be on his side then. But right now they've just been holding back.
Jack, we just had the part of the Kentucky Healthcare Exchange, Kentucky Health Cooperative, I think, the nonprofit insurance company that was operating as part of Connect. It's face difficulties, it's going under. Is that going to affect this race in any way?
Well, Bevin has tried to make that an issue, and I think it is an important issue, the health issue. But I think where Bevin has hurt himself is kind of giving varying messages on this, initially saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, James, that he was just ready to get rid of it immediately, and then he changed that yes. tune and said he would just tweak it,
yeah.
whatever that meant. So it should be a powerful issue, but I think Conway can come back and say, look, you've changed your tune so many times, we don't know what you're saying.
Well, and the thing is that that's pretty much one of the only black spots on K1ECT since it launched, since Bashir was able to launch it. So I think, You know, that's been something that hard to overcome. And sometimes I think Bevin can't get out of his own way. He misspoke during a debate and said, you know, Medicare recipients, obviously those are the elderly ones, are on the draw, that he would require drug testing for them. And then, of course, he backtracked off of that. But he's saying this stuff out loud and then having to backtrack. I think that kind of hurts him when he tries to focus on something else. He's always having to focus on what he said versus what he really wants to say or spin the message somewhere else.
I think what he really needed was an old gray-haired or a ball-headed guy like me. I would do it. But somebody who's been around the block and say, you know, look, you can say this, you can't say that. He's definitely his own man, and there's positive attributes to that. But I think if he'd had a wise old sage to talk to, he would have done some things differently.
So, Jack, what do you see as Conway's strengths and weaknesses?
His strength, he's traditional Democrat in the state. He's been able to get the support of the Democratic leaders all over the state, the governors. I can't see the party as fractured as, maybe that's too strong a word, but split as the Republicans are right now. So he's enjoyed all that. And I think also, you know, Democrats had to change their vote to get McConnell elected, to get Rand Paul elected, and there are a lot of Democrats who are afraid of Bevin. And I think that's why you'll see many Democrats staying with the Democratic candidate.
And he's put some distance between himself and President Obama, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Smart move.
He has. Right. And some of the issues, I mean, he's gone after the tobacco industry. He's done some other things. Mm-hmm. But I can say that, you know, talking to other Democrats, they wish he was a little bit more of an energetic campaigner and out there a little bit more. One thing that is interesting as a side note, is this will be the first time we'll have a governor who was born and raised in Louisville and forever. You can't say Bevin's born and raised in Louisville. Actually, he's from the Northeast, but his main residence when he's in governor is from Louisville, which creates a different dynamic, I think, in Frankfort. That maybe the urban issues might get a little bit more play, and because there's this definite divide between the urban and the rural legislative caucuses in the state.
Well, what about the lieutenant governor candidates? Now, who are they, James?
Sandy Overly. Okay. She's a leader in the Democratic Party in the House. I think she's the whip. Is that right, Jack?
The caucus chair.
Caucus chair. But been around the block in the House, and she would probably be Conway's number one person to kind of connect with the House, because Conway really doesn't have any legislative experience. And then,
hold that thought for just one second. We'll do some business here, James.
Go ahead.
We'd like to say thanks to Rachel Chambers for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. Okay.
No, so I had more experience with her. Jack's been on the campaign trail. I probably could talk about Bevin's running mate a little better. He's been up close and personal with a little more.
Janine Hampton, down from the Bowling Green area. I think she was strong in the Tea Party in that area. She's had an illustrious military career, very bright. She would be the first African-American to be a Kentucky lieutenant governor.
She worked for GM, I think, as an engineer, didn't she?
Both women are highly intelligent, personable, and I think are a plus to their slates.
But Janine kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, like Jack said, she ran for state rep, didn't win it. She has no legislative or governmental experience anyway, either. And when, you know, Bevin announced her, it was kind of like, who? So it was really an out-of-the-box choice for a running mate there.
Mm-hmm. What about, there's an independent in this whole thing, isn't there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jack, you want to take that?
He's Drew Curtis from Versailles. He's a blogger. And it has news items on his blog, and he's running. His running mate is someone very close to him, is his wife Heather Curtis. He's not been able to break through the 10% on polls to garner those votes. He's been running about 5 to 8% capturing that part of the vote. I hate predictions. I don't make predictions, but I will predict that Drew Curtis will not be our next governor.
Yes. But is it going to have an impact on the race?
I mean, he hasn't been able to get on the debates.
Well, okay. The funny thing is when he has been on the debates, he's been a riot. And I don't know if anybody's heard it. Durf.com is his website, and he's a very, very funny man. So
And very smart man.
Absolutely.
So he's not going to be governor, Jack, but is he going to have any kind of effect on the race?
So far, I don't think that will be a deciding factor in the race. As I said, he's usually 5 to 8% of the votes, and in a close race, he might.
I think he pulls equally from either party, don't you, Jack? I mean,
I don't think he's pulling one both of them.
I've talked to one political analyst that I trust a lot, who kind of was going deep into the numbers, and that said, well, slightly more, taking more votes away from Conway than from Bevin, but not in a significant way.
Right. Yeah. And I know that Conway. A lot of his campaigning has actually been in Louisville, on like the west end of Louisville, African American, and he's really trying to drive that vote out too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You always see the Democratic nominee for governor in Louisville, especially the Saturday before Election Day, and I would be shocked that if Conway is not in West Louisville. And because that's been a stronghold for Democrats, and they need to be there.
And like Jack was saying too, I think a lot of the campaigning now is more like, instead of what have I done, what am I going to do, for the Democrats, it's more like, what are we in store for if Bevin wins? It's more of a scare tactic. I think that's what we're going to see for the next week.
Yep.
So Howard, what's been the history of GOP governors in Kentucky?
Well,
I mean the streak's been kind of up and down the past few decades, hasn't it?
I mean, you have to go back to Wendell Ford as a Democratic governor, and the only one since then, a Republican governor, was Ernie Fletcher, who obviously preceded Steve Beshear and ended up, being a one-term governor.
And there were reasons for that.
Yeah, major reasons why he couldn't get himself reelected governor.
So,
I think that's another example where Fletcher didn't have a wise old sage sitting right next to him and says, "You can't do that. You can't do that." And he had some young. There's nothing wrong being young. Yeah. But some folks who were just promising too many jobs.
Ernie Fletcher needed a Louis Nunn sitting next to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Well, Jack, James, and Howard, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Lexington Herald leader, political writer, and Frankfurt Bureau Chief Jack Brammer, reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer James Pilcher, and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. Coming up, we'll have the story of two brave scientists who not only battled typhus, they also found a way to foil the Nazis. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.